Thanks everyone for coming to what I think is the last session of the second day of Build. I'm gonna apologize first, I got a bit of a cold, so if my voice sounds a little hoarse or I have to cough, sorry. My name is Sean Henry. I'm a principal program manager for Project Rome in Windows, and I'm here today to talk about app engagement in Windows and Cortana with user activities in Project Rome. And baseball. Any baseball fans in the audience? A couple, nice. Does everyone at least know what baseball is? Raise your hand if you know what baseball is. There's a few, yes, okay. I actually didn't know that much about baseball until I moved down here. I grew up in Canada, so you know, playing sports on something that's not like a frozen sheet of ice is a little bit unfamiliar to me, but as I moved down here, I started to learn a lot more about baseball, a lot more about baseball movies. So who can tell me, in baseball movies, what is the most famous baseball movie quote? Anyone? I knew someone was going to say that, but that's not what I'm looking for. If you build it, they will come, from Field of Dreams. Yes, if we'd done There's No Crying in Baseball, it would have been a totally different session. But we're going to go with, if you build it, they will come. Yeah, you know, I love this quote from Field of Dreams. You know, as a software developer, as an engineer, you know, really appeals to me that if I build something great, if I kind of fulfill a market need, if I build something really compelling, people will use it. You know, really, you know, the idea of building things and having people use them is what really appeals to me as an engineer. But you know, as app developers today, and as software developers in general, it's a little bit tough. Does anyone know how many applications there are out there, various stores across Windows and iOS and Android? Anyone have a guess? No one? Come on, guys. Yeah, I actually don't know. I know it's over 100,000. I know there's hundreds of thousands of apps out there in these various stores. But you know, of those hundreds of thousands, we know that users only download and install about 100 on their devices. And of those 100, they only use about 10 or 12 per day. So there's only about a dozen apps that they use on their devices per day. And even though we're spending more and more time on looking at screens on our devices, on phones, on PCs, and on big screens, there's only a small number of apps that people use every day. And it's important for you as app developers to get users re-engaged in those applications, because there's lots of them out there, and you really want to make users get into your apps and re-engage them with your applications. And so that's what we're trying to do with Project Rome. That's kind of where we come in. And the goal of Project Rome is to enable developers, app developers like you, and enable Windows to create experiences that span across devices, span across time, and span across context, so that we can get the user back into your app at the right time, in the right place, and on the right device. So in this session in particular, we're going to talk about ways to do that with something called user activities. So we'll talk a little bit about what user activities are, how they work, how you can create them. We'll talk about how you create really rich user activities you can plug into some of those new Windows experiences that we announced today. We'll talk about how you can create those user activities from Microsoft Graph for cloud integration or for device integration on platforms other than Windows. And finally, I have a quick demo putting it all together with some of the Project Rome features that we talked about earlier today and some of the other features as part of Project Rome. But first, I want to kind of recap the video that Joe Belfiore showed this morning. Did everyone see that video? Anyone not see it? Anyone not see the keynote this morning? Yeah. It was pretty cool, right? So I just want to go through it. And Joe really looked at it from a consumer perspective. And I want to kind of put a developer's eyes on it and talk about how you as an app developer can plug in. So one of the big features he announced was Timeline, which is an extension of Task View. And what it does is, you know, as Task View shows you what you're doing today by hitting Win Tab, Timeline shows you activities that you've done in the past. So you can go back in time and see things that you've done. So we see here a set of cards of activities that I've done in the past yesterday. And what I can do is I can tap on these cards and re-engage with them. And I can take these cards and I can also filter them based on metadata that's in those cards. So here I'm searching within those cards. And I can filter them down to specific cards based on time or based on context that's associated with those cards. I can then tap on those cards and re-engage back with that application. So in this case here, I'm opening PowerPoint back up. And I'm back where I left off in PowerPoint. So I'm back in slide 3, which was the last place I was in this document. I can also take these activities created on one device and move them to another Windows device. So the activities exist associated with a user, and other experiences like Cortana in this case can pick up these activities and allow the user to pick back up into your app right where they left off on other devices. So this is another view on the same set of activities that Cortana in the cloud has decided it's the right thing to offer to the user and is now offering it back up to the user as something that they might want to pick up on. So I can launch activities here again from Cortana, and once again, they pick up exactly where I left off. I can then move through activities, and I can go into other apps and engage with those. So here's a case of news and browsing through articles. You know, news is a very sort of canonical app. A lot of applications are like this today, where they're kind of cloud-based with a master detail interface. And it's very simple for an application like news to create activities and not only have them span across Windows, but also onto other platforms. So this is Cortana on iPhone here, and you can see it's showing you the same activities again, but in a view that's native to the iPhone. And I can pick up exactly where I left off in MSN News, in this case, on the iPhone. We can also have other applications create activities on iPhone or on other platforms, iPhone and Android, and have them move back over to Windows. So they flow across all the devices you use every day. And here we are back in Timeline with the same experience and now with a new card from that work that I've done on the iPhone. So those are three really interesting new engagement surfaces that we announced today as part of Windows. Timeline on Windows desktop, Cortana on the PC, and Cortana on the phone. So three new places where users can get back into your app and pick up where they left off. So you're probably wondering now, how does all this magic work? Well, it works through MS Graph, and activities in the graph, and devices in the graph, which were two things that you might have heard talked about a little bit in the keynote this morning. And so what happens is, as an application creates activities throughout the course of the user using that application, it writes them to the local activity feed on the device. That feed is responsible for uploading those activities to MS Graph, to the activity graph, which then fans them out to all of the devices in the user's device graph. And the device graph is all the users associated with that particular user's account, either their Microsoft account or their Azure Active Directory account. And then once they're on those other devices or even on the originating device, they're then picked up by these new Windows experiences like Cortana, like Timeline, or like any other new experience that might be created in the future, and then are offered back up to the user so they can re-engage with them. So, what are these activities that are flowing through the activity graph? They consist of three components. An application, a deep link, which allows your application to have a URI that takes you back to where your application was, deep link back into the application, not just to the front door of your application, but back into the context that the user was in. Some visual metadata so that the user can pick up the activity and know what it is and have some data so that they know what that activity was about. And then some content metadata as well, which we can use, for instance, with Cortana in the cloud to know which context to offer this activity back up to the user. So that's kind of how activities flow through the graph and to all the devices associated with the user. And on Windows, when we talk about user activities specifically, we're talking about user activity objects. And these objects consist of a number of different properties and a few methods. The three required properties for user activity are shown here. So the activity ID, which is an ID that you create as the application so that you can identify a particular activity based on where the user is in that context.
So for instance, if you're on a particular page within an application, you can generate an activity. Maybe you could hash it if there's some more information in the activity, such as where you actually are on the page, and use it to identify exactly where the user is in your application. An activation URI, which is something that we will give back to you from these experiences when we relaunch your application, so that your application can know where to go to get back to that location. And then finally, the bare minimum of visuals is to just provide a string of display text for the user to know what that activity is. So in this case, that basic display text will show up in Cortana as the single piece of text that they show in the Action Center to enable you to pick up where you left off. Once you've populated all the properties for the user activity, you can save them, which materializes those properties into an object. And then you call create session on that object. And what the session create session does is it returns a user activity session. And while your application holds on to this user activity session, the user activity will be accruing activity engagement from Windows. So Windows will start adding activity engagement to that user activity while the user is using your application in the context of that activity. And as long as you hold on to that user activity session, your application will continue to accrue engagement records. So let's take a look at that in code. I'm going to switch over here to Visual Studio. And I'm going to show you here, this is the MSN News app, and I already have it launched and associated with the debugger here. And what they've done is they've hooked up an event handler for every time the article changes in MSN News. So MSN News, if you're not familiar, is a news application that allows you to, you know, browse articles that you might see on MSN, so current events, news, that kind of stuff. So we'll go over to the application here, and we'll take a look. Maybe we'll go over to baseball, of course. And we can take a look, and we see a bunch of articles here, and if we go and we click on one of these articles, what happens is this event fires. And so the first thing that MSN News does is they create this deep link URL. And I'll just step through this here so we can see what they create. So we can see here at the bottom, that might be a little small, but what they've done, you can see the pieces of it here, is that they've created a scheme handler for MSN News so that we know how to launch back into MSN News via scheme. And in UWP, it's very simple to add these schemes. You can add them in your package manifest. If you use the wizard, there's a nice wizard that adds them for you. You can also add them directly here in the XML. So here we can see that Bing News has added a handler for the protocol Bing News and for MSN News, which is what they've created the deep link for. After you've done that, you can then check in your application when it gets activated. There's an unactivated handler in the application. And you can see if you were launched with the protocol activated event. You can then unpack that and then figure out where the user was and deep link them back into your application at that point. So once they've created that, we're now going to create an activity associated with that deep link URI. So we'll get our activity channel, the default channel in this case, and we will hash that deep link. So in this case, actually, MSN News is not actually doing anything to the deep link because there's no additional data that they wanted to add. So it just comes back as the same link from this function that they've created, from this method they've created. And then what we do is we ask the user activity, the activity feed on the device, to create a new activity, to create an activity based on this ID. Now, if an activity already exists, so if I'd already gone to this article either on this machine or on another machine, I'll actually get handed back that activity. But if I haven't, it will create a new activity for me and hand that back. And the way I can tell if it was a new activity or not is I can look at some of the properties on the user activity. So for instance, we can see down here, it's got a state set to publish. So actually, I'd already been to this article probably earlier when I was practicing this demo. But that doesn't matter that much unless you want to do something different based on it was an activity that was resumed. In this case, news is not doing anything in that case. So we've got handed back that user activity is already created. We'll add an activation URL for it, which was the deep link that we created before. We'll set the title. We'll set the display text, which is the other required parameter. And we'll set a few other parameters here. So in this case, we're setting a content URI, which is actually the web link for this article. So if we're on, so if the user wants to open it in a web browser, for instance, we can do that. We can take them to the web version. If it was like an image editor or something, you might put the link to the actual file on there so that they can open it in potentially other editors. The description, which is additional metadata that shows up in some of the surfaces, you probably saw that in timeline, is that there was a subtext that was added as well. And finally, a background color that can be used to create a brand association for a particular color. So now that we've populated those properties, we'll save the user activity, and we'll create a session out of it. But before I create a session, I'm going to dispose of any other current activity that there was. So this current activity variable is a static for this application. So MSN News, because of the way their application works, they feel that they only really have one activity ongoing at a time. So they maintain this simply in a static variable. And what I'm doing here, does everyone know what that question mark is? I love the question mark. This is literally my favorite new feature from, I think, two versions ago of C#. This is the null propagation operator. So I could have unpacked this and made this if current activity not equal to null, dispose. But this makes it a little bit easier. So what this does, because I just launched this application, my current activity is null because I haven't done an activity yet in MSN News. But if I had, I will dispose of that activity. So the user is not on the article they were on previously. They've clicked next, and they've moved on to another article. So I'll dispose of their current activity, and then I will create a session for this new activity here. So I call create session on the activity, which creates a session object associated with the current activity, and then I hold onto that object while the user is engaged with that article. So now we will hopefully see here that we have our pickup where I left off in Action Center. And I can click on that, and I can resume right back where I left off. So that was great that worked. I was a little bit worried that it might not. I want to tell you guys a really cool story for a second, because I just think it's awesome, is that we were playing around. We were trying to get this working for this demo, and it was working great. The team had been working really hard to get that demo working, get Cortana working. And last night, it stopped working. Just stopped working. And what would happen is it would show a notification, it would be the generic notification. We couldn't figure out what was going on. And so when I noticed it wasn't working, I went over to my backup device. It also wasn't working there. So we were trying to figure out, how could it not work on the same device at the same time? And what it was that there was a bug in Windows, I know, they exist, that was causing us to have a check if the time the activity was created was at a different day than the GMT day, then the activity wouldn't get created properly. And so everything would work great through the day, and then at midnight GMT, it would stop working. And guess what time it is right now in the UK? It's 12:30 in the morning. So I'm very happy that worked. We were able to fix that bug just in time. Otherwise, it would have been something not working here for you guys. So I'm happy that worked. All right, so that's the basics of user activities. And I showed you how they fit in with an application like MSN News. But of course, all applications are different. So it's really important for you to think about what is the right user activity and how to build a user activity for your application. And so think about what users do in your application and what they're likely to resume within your application. That's really the key, is what are the set of things that a user is likely to resume in your application? Don't be too granular. Not everything in your application needs to be a user activity. Think of sessions. Think of groups of things that the users do together that they would like to resume. If you're already creating deep links in your application, for instance, for sharing the deep links or for creating secondary tiles or something like that, you can use those locations to create that deep link for you and then create your user activity from that. So for example, if you took something like Office, so we saw a lot of Office in timeline, document-based applications, very simple for document-based applications. The user activity is typically associated with the document that the user is interacting with, whether they're reading or editing a document. You create a user activity when that document is created and then close the session when the user is no longer using that document. So it's associated with that particular document. Fairly straightforward for document-based applications. for a little bit more complex for things like media playback applications, because you can think of you're viewing a particular piece of content, but that content could be tied with other pieces of content. So for example, you know, it may be an album, so you may be listening to songs, and maybe an album or a playlist that it's associated with, or it might be a video playback application, which has like a season of shows, like Netflix or Hulu or something, has a season of shows or a particular show, and the user might want to resume the next show after they've finished watching it. So in that case, you may want to, you know, pop up one level for the document. And the same is true kind of for line of business applications. So if you have a very simple application that really only has one page, you may actually only have one user activity for that entire application. You would create it when the application was launched, and you would dispose of it when the user is no longer in the application. If you have a little bit more complex application, like maybe it's a master detail type of interface, kind of like news was there, you can look at creating a user activity based on each of the verticals. Again, think of the things that the user might want to resume, and think of the sessions that they're engaged with. The same thing with games. Games can, in some cases, be very simple. In which case, you'd always be resuming where the user last left off. But they can get a little bit more complex if you think about something like Minecraft, where you always have a particular state for the game that you're in, but you may have multiple games. You have different worlds that I'm working on right now. So in that case, you would want to have a user activity session for each of those worlds, so that then the user could see in timeline, you know, which world they were looking at and pick up that particular game where they left off. So that's the basics of user activities and what makes a good user activity. Next, I want to talk about some of the slightly more advanced things you can do in an activity to really enrich them and create really rich metadata in user activities. So you saw in timeline that there were these kind of beautiful cards that you can create and to allow the user to really know what the content is that they're going to be re-engaging with. And in order to support that, we're using adaptive cards, which is something that we talked a little bit about in the keynote earlier. How many of you caught that stuff about adaptive cards in the keynote? The nice thing with adaptive cards is that they allow you as a developer to specify the basic layout of your data that you want to show to the user. And then we can create a native UI that looks great based on the context that the user is in. So we can create a UI that looks great in timeline, that looks great on iOS, looks great on Android, that feels natural within all of those contexts. So very simple to add those. I didn't show it in the demo. There's a visual.content. We have a builder that takes adaptive card JSON, and that gets carried along with the user activity. And so, for example, what some of that looks like. So here's the adaptive JSON for this card here. So it's got a background image for this particular article, and then it's got two pieces of text. So you can see a text block here, and I get some niceness in that, you know, adaptive cards automatically figures out how to cut it off and add that dot, dot, dot at the end. And then I've set it to be larger and bolder, and then I have a little subtext underneath associated with this card. So you can get really rich and exciting with cards. You can build a lot of stuff. And Matt Heidinger, who I see in the front row here, has a session tomorrow that I encourage you guys to go to. And he will show you how to explore and build really beautiful cards. This is a visualizer that I'm just going to tease here that was shown in the keynote that allows you to explore how cards work, and then you can look at some more complex cards, how you might want them to show up on different surfaces here in the adaptive card visualizer. Definitely go take a look at that session. It's tomorrow to talk about how to build adaptive cards that are visually engaging for your application. In addition to visuals, there's content metadata associated with the user activities. So for this, we again have a builder that takes JSON format, and it takes a JSON format from schema.org. How many of you are familiar with schema.org? If you used it before, or microdata, very common in websites to have this metadata associated with an application. And I'll show you again real quick, actually, here. So if we were going to take... So the domains we're supporting today, the types we're supporting today are domains such as shopping, entities that the user might be looking at, as well as actions that they might be performing on this piece of content. As Cortana expands and gets smarter, we're gonna keep updating these and adding more and more pieces of content metadata that we can use to deliver the user activity back into the context. So if you go today to somewhere like schema.org, you can take a look and have it open here. If you just go to schema.org, and you know, for that MSN example, MSN News, for example, I might want to add some metadata saying that it was an article. So I can go and look here, and I can see that article is already defined as something in schema.org, and we can take a look, and there are a bunch of properties here, such as the author and the created date, that I can associate with that piece of that user activity. And specifically here, here's an example again for that same card where we've gone to schema.org and we've created an article piece of metadata associated with this activity that has the very basic in this case, just the name and the date published and the author for that article. Similarly, you know, with here's a slightly richer card for a pizza restaurant, and then some more metadata associated with that, such as the location and the URL for that restaurant. So all that stuff is up on schema.org, and you can go and associate that with your user activity to enable us to get the user back in the right context, and we can associate user activities together and get users back into your application. So that was a tour of the UWP APIs for user activities. You're probably asking, well, what if my application stores all its state in the cloud? Or I have a cross-platform application. You showed me that I can make these things work cross-platform. So for that, we have a full integration with MS Graph. And this is a great solution, again, if your apps are not UWP, or if you have a service integration. So all your state for your app is stored in the service, and it's just simpler for you to integrate directly with MS Graph. These are authenticated via OAuth. There's a particular scope you can ask for, which will allow you to write activities into the user's device graph with their permission. So today, we support a few commands within MS Graph. You can go to MS Graph, you can go to graph.microsoft.com, and you can create an activity using put command for an activity and passing an activity ID. You can create engagement records for those activities. So when you know that the user has engaged with that particular activity or your application, you can associate those engagement records with the activity. You can batch those up using OData, so you can create one request that allows you to send all that data at once so you're not hitting the service too often. Then you can also delete any of those activities or engagements that you've created. So let's take a look at that quickly in code. So I'm going to go over here to this guy, and I'm going to show you what that request looks like. So the slide had the final URI for Graph. We are still in pre-production right now. We'll be moving to beta actually in the next couple days. There's a link at the end of the slide where you guys can find the current URI to get access to this. But you can see up at the top here that I'm in our pre-production environment for MS Graph. So if I want to create an activity in MS Graph, I supply many of the same parameters that I showed you in the client-side UWP API. For example, I create an activity ID up here for this particular article. And I create an activation URI, which is the URI that gets me back into that application. An interesting thing here, as you can see, is it's not a scheme. It's actually an HTTP URI. And so for this particular example, this application is using app URI handlers. And I'll talk briefly about app URI handlers. There we go, here. So what an app URI handler lets you do, or an app link on iOS, a universal link on iOS, or app link on Android, allows you to associate an HTTP link with your application. So your application on Windows will specify in its manifest the domain that is associated with that application. So it specifies that in the manifest in the app URI handler property, so contoso.com or whatever your web URI is. When that application is installed, we will validate that at that URI, there's a microsoft.app.uri handlers file. And once we have validated that file is there, every time the user selects that URI, either from like a link in mail or something like that, or an Edge, we will then launch your application via protocol activation. So the same way I showed it being launched in MSN News, you can then get that protocol activation, and you can parse the URI in much the same way that you parsed your Scheme launch. And this is a great way to have one link that works across all different platforms, as well as have a link that is always associated with your application. So you have multiple users, multiple applications associated with the Scheme, but only one application. Your application will be associated with the app URI handler. So back over to the code. I'm going to zoom in a little bit here so you guys can see this better, hopefully. So I've created that app activity ID, the activation URL, the name, which is the display text from the UWP API, a description, and a background color. So those were the basic pieces that I added in the UWP API. And the last thing I've added is an app ID URL. So what the app ID URL does is it tells MS Graph what the client ID is for your application across all different platforms. So this is another file that is placed at the root of your application's domain. In this case, the cross-platform identifiers file. And it contains a mapping between your application ID on different platforms. So here we have the Windows Universal App ID, the Android App ID, the iOS App ID, the MSA, which is the ID that you get when you register with Microsoft for MS Graph access, as well as your web domain. And then in your UWP application, again, you specify the domain of your application so that we can then know when that activity is generated from the cloud that it belongs to your application on the client. So now that I've populated all the basic data in this JSON request, I can send it. And you can see here I got a status 200 OK, which means it's a new activity. If it hadn't been a new activity, I would have gotten a 201. Which I think is the response for if the content already exists. So now that I've created that, I can go and look in the headers that were returned, and I can see here that it has returned an ID for me for this activity. I can then go and create engagement records based on that activity. So I can go here is a history item request where I've put in that location, that ID for that activity. And I've created a request for an engagement record. An engagement record is very simple. It's just a start time and an end time for when the user was engaged with that activity. So once again, I can send that, and we can see that that was created in MS Graph. So that's all you need to do in order to create activities within MS Graph. There are a bunch of other properties as well, both in the client-side API and in the MS Graph API. So you can see here a little bit more complex example where I've added some more metadata, such as the time zone, content URI, a fallback URI, which can be used on platforms where there's no application model. So in that case, this could take you to the website for your application. And then the adaptive content metadata, so the content metadata from schema.org, and the adaptive content, and also a background, actually the background image, that's not quite correct, but also an icon image, which you can use to override the attribution icon in places like Timeline and Cortana. Of course, I can also delete activities. So again, very simple here. I just send a delete command to, I actually don't have to populate the body, but I just send a delete command with the same ID. Same thing for deleting activity, so activity engagement records with the ID and the URI, just pass a delete command, send them as a delete command, and we'll delete that record. You can also batch them up using OData. I'll show you actually what that looks like really quickly here. Those don't work in our pre-production environment, but they do work in the production environment for MS Graph. So as long as you promise not to try those just yet until we're in production. Those use the standard OData scheme to batch multiple requests together So here I'm creating an activity as well as an engagement record at the same time. It's a useful way to not have to make too many requests to MS Graph when you're associating user activities and engagement records. So that was MS Graph integration, which is a really great way to enable applications that are either on cross-platform, so on iOS and Android, or with web integration, to create activities on behalf of the user that are then associated with that user and show up in Timeline and show up in Cortana. A couple other things I want to talk about. So you can read your activities back. So these are scoped to your application. You don't see all of the user's activities, but the activities that your application has created. So you can call into both client-side APIs as well as MS Graph APIs to read back your activities. This can be used if you want to create your own kind of mini timeline or Cortana interface within your application, creating like MRU, most recently used lists. The APIs here are fairly simple. There's two APIs associated with the user activity channel, which allows you to find a specific activity based on the ID or find all of your activities. So you can bind the list that comes off of the activity channel for all your activities and create an experience that is tailored to your application. And again, you can use things like the adaptive card renderer to build an experience that looks great within your own UI. I mentioned deleting from the cloud. You can also delete from the client. One thing to keep in mind is that the user controls the lifetime of activities, so they can manage these either through their Cortana notebook or also through the privacy dashboard at Microsoft. So you shouldn't necessarily rely on that data being there, so you shouldn't store critical state in the activities. They're really user data that is controlled by the user and the user's privacy settings. Typically, actually, you wouldn't need to manage or delete activities. Really, there's a very specific case where you might want to do this if you're an application that separately maintains the user's history. So for instance, a web browser. You know, a web browser has a control that shows you all the websites you've been to, and you would certainly want in that web browser, if you delete parts of your history, to also delete the user activities associated with that particular engagement or history record. So for example, we can delete, again, particular activities. We can delete all the activities associated with an app, or we can delete engagements over a particular time span. So you can imagine if, again, take the web browser example, if I wanted to delete, say, all of the websites I looked at yesterday, I can specify a date range, and we will go through and delete all the engagement records for that particular time for those activities. So it wouldn't necessarily delete the activity if it's something I'd done on different days, but it would delete the engagement in that activity for that particular day. So that's the user activity APIs. How many of you went to the Project Rome session earlier today? Awesome. So in that session, we talked a lot about devices and how devices, how you can get to the device graph and enable a bunch of really cool experiences within the device graph to have your experiences in your apps span from one device to another. And here we talked about activities, which allow your users to pick up your application and pick up where they left off on different Windows, different experiences on different devices, such as Timeline and Cortana. And I want to show you a quick demo that kind of puts these two things together and should hopefully get you thinking about how you can actually use some of these things together. This isn't a very pretty demo. I put it together myself, and I'm not a UI expert. And it may not work. I don't know if you saw the guy up here wrestling with the Wi-Fi, but we'll give it a try. So what I've done here is I've created an application that is a Channel 9 video browser. It takes the RSS feed, and it lets me view Channel 9 videos on Android. It's written in Xamarin, so it works on iOS, and it works on Android. Just get this stuff out of the way. So it works on iOS, and it works on Android using the same Xamarin APIs. But what it does is it talks to MS Graph to read those activities back, and I can build my own little MRU of all the videos that I've viewed within on Channel 9 for this application, which is a Channel 9 video viewer. And I can read those back and I can manage them and delete them and create a little most recently used list that's associated with this application. And I can play them back and I can view the videos on my phone. But one thing that I can do as well with the device graph is I can specify all my devices here, so I have a little picker. Whoops, I have a little picker here. Sorry, I clicked the wrong place. That shows me all my devices, and I can pick my surface here, and I can resume an activity, and if the Wi-Fi works, it will launch this application and pick up right where I left off. Awesome, didn't work. Let's try that one more time. See if the Wi-Fi is working now. There we go. Okay, so it's going to pick up right where I left off, and now I can view this application, and I can control it. I can play, and I can hit pause over here on the phone, and it's pausing the video. Play the video, I can go to previous next, and I can control all those things with the device graph APIs combined with the activity APIs in MS Graph. So I thought that was a really cool way to show kind of all these things fitting together and working together to build really great experiences that get the user back in the right place, in the right context, at the right time in your application. So to recap, user activities are the unit of user engagement in Windows. So they're what we use to track users using your applications and for using experiences within Windows. They consist of a deep link URI, so a link that gets you back into the context of your application, right where the user left off. Some visual elements, either some properties with title and display text, or with rich adaptive cards to allow you to provide really rich and beautiful experiences that are native to the surface that they're shown on. And content metadata, which lets us determine when is the right time to offer the activity back up to the user. We have client APIs for UWP that allow you to create user activities easily and quickly from your UWP applications, and also MS Graph REST APIs so that you can integrate with the cloud via MS Graph or cross-platform, you can call those MS Graph APIs. And the whole goal here is to provide surfaces that get users back into your application. And that's really what we're trying to do with Project Roam and with these new UI surfaces in Windows, which is to get users, you know, it helps the user because it gets them back where they left off and back in the right context. It helps you, obviously, as an app developer because it gets them back into your app and using your application, and it helps Windows to have great experiences and great user experiences for applications. So briefly, what's working where? You know, if you use the Insider build of Windows from today with the Insider SDK, the majority of the user activity APIs are available and working today. The build that I showed here was a recent Insider build, so you can go and call those APIs today. Cortana in the Action Center is working today as well, as long as you're in the UK. No, I'm just kidding. It is working. That bug, I'm sure, will get fixed. Actually, I know it's fixed, and it will be probably fixed in the next Insider flight for you guys. In addition, the Activity REST APIs are in pre-production now. They'll be moving to beta, actually, in the next literally couple of days. So you'll be able to play with those there from within MS Graph. Some of the user activity APIs that I showed you, such as the read and delete APIs, will be coming a little bit later. They're not in the Insider build that's available right now. We're also creating a .NET standard cross-platform library that will allow you, if you're in a Xamarin application, to integrate directly with MS Graph and use client-side APIs and a nice object model there for creating activities and using activities. Timeline and other UX services are also coming in a later release of Windows. There's a bunch of related sessions, so here's the track for the application model. I want to call out a couple in particular. I know a lot of you went to Carmen and Vikas's session earlier. If you didn't, I strongly encourage you to take a look at that session on Channel 9 when it becomes available. It talks about kind of the other set of Project Roam APIs that integrate with the device graph and allow you to have experiences that kind of push from one device to another. And then tomorrow, be sure to check out Matt's session on adaptive cards, where he'll go into a lot of detail of how you can use adaptive cards to build really rich visuals that work and feel native on different devices and different platforms and in different experiences. Be sure to check out our website, aka.ms.projectrome. We have a GitHub as well at project-rome in the Microsoft GitHub, where you can find a lot of samples and documentation that allow you to get started quickly on both these APIs for user activities as well as on the device graph APIs. We also have a booth in the hub. Be sure to come check us out there. I'll be there tomorrow morning as well as a bunch of people from my team. If you have any follow-up questions, be sure to come down and ask us, and I can take a few questions right now as well. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, just come up to the mic up here so that we can get the questions mic'd.
So timeline's obviously the primary Windows UI, and I guess that's coming in the fall creators update.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking specifically about what comes when, what's available today. You were trying to trick me, weren't you? You were trying to get me to announce something. They warned me about people like you. What's available today in the Insiders build is Cortana Pullo. Other experiences are coming soon to Windows.
Okay, so there'll be other places that we could maybe expect to see this being used?
There will be fantastic, amazing places where you'll be able to see it used, but we're not talking about any new UI yet. But definitely, I mean, this is a big piece of putting these user activities in the graph, and the intention is that we can surface them in all these different places at the right time and the right context for the user.
Do you plan to enable cross-users activities? Let's say I created a document, PowerPoint 2 days ago. You went to edit it yesterday. Yeah. Can I have not a notification, but something on the card which will say, hey, Sean, updated the document you worked on 2 days ago?
Yeah. So the user activity APIs today are scoped to a particular user, their Microsoft account or their Azure Active Directory account. One of the things that we've seen some applications do, like Office has been experimenting with annotating activities and annotating the cards with other users that are collaborating on a document, so you could potentially see in your timeline that so-and-so edited this Word document, or there's a new note in there. But the user activity feed itself is scoped to a particular user.
Okay, so if I want to do cross-user stuff, I have to handle it myself and query back the data and update the card again. Okay, cool, yep. Thank you.
Any more questions? Great, go have fun at the attendee party. Should be amazing.